Welcome once again to the Forgotten Word. I'm Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the emergent church. We welcome you. I hope you learn from it. Now on with the program.
Share a little bit today with you concerning emergent church movement. What is the emergent church movement? The emerging or emergent church movement takes its name from the idea that as culture changes, a new church should emerge in response. In this case, it's a response by various church leaders to the current era of postmodernism. Although postmodernism began in the 1950s, the church really didn't seek to conform to its tenets until the 1990s. But postmodernism can be thought of as a dissolution of cold, hard fact in favor of warm, fuzzy subjectivity. The emergent church movement can be thought of the same way. The emergent church movement falls into line with basic postmodernistic thinking. It is about experience over reason, subjectivity over objectivity, spirituality over religion, images over words, outward over inward, feelings over truth. These are reactions to modernism and are thought to be necessary in order to actively engage contemporary culture. This movement is still fairly new, though, so there is not yet a standard method of doing church amongst the groups choosing to take that postmodern mindset. In fact, the emerging church rejects any standard methodology for doing anything. Therefore, there's a huge range of how far groups take a postmodernistic approach to Christianity. Some groups go only a little way in order to impact their community for Christ and remain biblically sound. Most groups, however, embrace postmodernist thinking, which eventually leads to a very liberal, loose translation of the Bible. This, in turn, lends to liberal doctrine and liberal theology. For example, because experience is valued more highly than reason, truth becomes relative. Relativism opens up all kinds of problems as it destroys the standard that the Bible contains absolute truth, negating the belief that biblical truth can be absolute. If the Bible is not our source for absolute truth and personal experience is allowed to define and interpret what truth actually is, a saving faith in Jesus Christ is rendered meaningless. Another area where the emergent church movement has become anti-biblical is its focus on ecumenism. Unity among people coming from different religious and ethnic backgrounds and diversity in the expression of corporate worship are a strong focus of the emergent church movement. Being ecumenical means that compromise is taking place, and this results in a watered down of Scripture in favor of not offending an apostate. This is in direct opposition to passages such as Revelation 2:14-17, Jesus' letter to the church of Pergamum, in which the church is warned against tolerating those who teach false doctrine. False doctrine seems to abound within the emergent church movement, though, as stated previously, not within every group espousing emergent church beliefs. Because of this, care must be taken when deciding whether or not to become involved with an emergent church group. We all need to take heed of Matthew 7:15-20. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. While seeking new ways to witness to a changing culture is admirable, utilizing ways to compromise the truth of the gospel in any way is nothing more than promoting false doctrine and leading others away from Christ instead of to Him. Now, on that I would add, churches today are becoming exactly like what I just described to you. The Bible seems to be not enough. I don't understand. I tell you what confuses me the most, I guess, is that some of the people who are so involved, some of the leaders of these emerging churches, they were raised with the Bible. They know the Bible. They know the Bible is the inerrant word of the mighty Lord God himself. It's not a book thrown together by a bunch of guys who decided to sit down and think about it and decided to write a book. The Bible is not just a book. It is the book. It is the words of mighty God taken and put on paper by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit himself. Much different than me or you or a bunch of us getting together and trying to decide what we want our new church to be like. That's us. That's our thinking. But the Holy Spirit himself gave directive to these people to write these books. And it was all put together as one book, the Word of God. The Word of God, not the Word of man. The Bible tells us, don't take away from, don't add to the Word of God. What has happened? Well, just like it explained, man, we are so greedy, we are so selfish that we want everything to be the way we want it to be. And that's what's happened in the church. It used to be, years back, you went to church, you worshiped God. You went to church for the express purpose of worshiping God, God alone, no one else, God. Now, it seems like people are going to church to worship each other, to worship the preacher on the pulpit, to worship the new building. I can't tell you how many times I've had people say, oh, you need to come see our new church, it's so great. We've got this and we've got that. We've got Starbucks, we got a bowling alley, we got a bookstore, we've got a clothing store. We got couches to sit on and watch TV. What? That's like describing going to your house and not going to church. What are you going to church for, people? That's what I ask people in the new emergent church, the new modern mega church. That's what I ask them. Why do you go? It's fun. I love our church. The people in it are so nice. They give, they help, they do this, they do that. They do all these things. Yes, it's wonderful. But you just don't hear people talking about, I go to that church because we see souls saved. We see souls saved. We see souls saved. My lands! That's what church is supposed to be about. Bringing people, lost souls, to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That's all it's about. It's not about having fun. It's not about seeing how many people we can get in the pews. It's not about seeing how much money we can raise so we can buy an airplane, or we can buy a new wing to add on, or we can do this or we can do that. It's about saving souls by the grace of God. And we don't see that today. Today, people come out of the church and everybody's just happy as a lark. They had such a good time. But when you ask them about, what did you learn today? Well, you know, preacher talked a great sermon on how we should love each other. Preacher preached a great sermon on how we are somebody. We're special. We got to quit thinking about how we're not. You know, we got to start understanding that we are the chosen ones. We deserve to have more than the rest of the world does. We deserve to have a better house. We deserve to have a better car. We deserve to have a bigger bank account. We deserve to have more because we're God's people. Friends, we don't deserve anything. We do not deserve anything except hell. That's what we deserve. That's all we deserve. But because God sent His only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for the sin of the world, and then to rise again to be our Savior, so our sins would be forgiven if, and that's the key to the whole thing, if you give your heart and life to Him, Jesus, Him alone, He will forgive you of your sins, and He will save your soul. The preacher can't do it. The church can't do it. I don't care how many bookstores you get. I don't care how many books your preacher's written. None of that's going to save you. I don't care how many airplanes your preacher has. That's not going to save you. That's not going to do anything as far as the gospel is concerned. The emergent church, the emerging church people think that they have to have everything. And not only that, they think that they have to bring in anybody and everybody because, after all, we don't want to offend anyone, do we? What kind of preacher stands at a pulpit and is afraid to speak the truth of the gospel for fear he might offend somebody? My land's sakes.
Let me tell you what offends me. It offends me when preachers can't and won't, I shouldn't say can't, they won't get up and tell the truth and only the truth as the gospel shows and proclaims and teaches us. My land sakes, I've never seen anything like these penny-waist preachers who cater to the almighty dollar. That's all they care about. If they would, for 5 seconds, take a little bit of time to think about, if they would take 5 seconds to realize that they're fighting against the Almighty God. It's not against flesh and blood, people. Don't these ministers that claim to be preachers of the gospel understand this? Oh yeah, all they see is the people in front of them and the greed, the money. They don't realize that what is happening is that every time they mislead one of these souls, it's a spiritual battle that's going on. The Lord is watching. Holy God in heaven is watching every move they make. What is so hard to understand about the gospel? Why can't they understand how simple it is? And I can tell you in a nutshell, I guess, what it's all about. Satan. Oh, I know. The devil made me do it. Of course the devil allowed you to do it. He planted seeds in your mind. He planted those thoughts in your mind. You talk about seed planting. You name it and claim it's, and you were, word-based preachers talking about planting a seed. I tell you, the seed that's been planted, the biggest seed growing, the biggest plant you ever saw, and it's in your own mind. Satan planted it there. The devil planted a big seed in you, and it's growing more and more every day, and it's overtaking your whole entire life. And the sad part is that you're not only taking and ruining and your own life, but you're putting the souls, the eternal souls of others at hand. You're going to ruin them to where they're going to fail. Their souls are going to be lost. It's sad. It's sickening. You guys got to understand that there's more here to gain and more here to lose than a dollar bill. Get your acts together, folks. Preachers that preach this false nonsense, get your acts together. Christ is on His way. Amen. We'll see you tomorrow again. 7 o'clock. God bless you. If I don't see you this side of heaven, I'll see you at the roll call. Amen.